Tonight, folks, we're going to look at mankind's three major concerns. Definitely not all the concerns, but these are the major ones. And this deals with the concerns and the hurt and the brokenness of every human being. Every one of us have something in our family, something with those we love, and on our mind continually is the concern we have for our fellow man. Those that we love so dear, and even those that we have become acquaintances with, the longer we live, the more we understand the importance of every personality within our life. Yet, on these concerns, these, even though they're major, they are less spoken of than any of the other concerns, meaning it's very seldom ever brought forward about these three different ones. These three are true life. Folks can be breathing. Doesn't mean they're alive. That heart can be pumping. It doesn't mean there's life within the spirit of that individual to get the body up or to have the body do anything. It's true life. What is truly alive? Then death. But how often do you hear people talk about it? How often do you hear them express concerns or joy of dying? And the hereafter. Now, why wouldn't they talk about what it means to have true life, what it means in the term of death, and the hereafter? Because each one of us are going in this direction. Let's do this. It's a study of God's answers to these three concerns. First of all, true life. What is it? How did we become a living being? We look at it. We study. How did we become a living being? Once we have focused on that question to ourselves, then we are ready and willing to take on the rest of the problems of the death and the hereafter. How did we become a living being? Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Okay, I'm a Christian. We're Christians. Now, as Christians, we do not question the Bible. Now, we will question some people's interpretation of it, but we will not question that God has formed man. We cannot question it because there's no question for us. We believe it. It's a part of who we are. Now, will everyone find true life? After we know that God is the one who started us, He's the one that kicked us off, breathed into us, and we became a living being. Will everyone find true life? No, they won't. Only a few. Again, I'm focusing on what does the Scripture say, rather than what commentators think. Will everyone find true life? No. Matthew 7:14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Remember, the greatest rejection by the human race of Christianity, of salvation, is it can't be real. Salvation can't be real because you're saying that God comes down as man and God himself incarnate in the body of Christ. He takes on every feeling, every emotion that any human being will ever have. And you're saying then that, okay, if he's taking on all those emotions, then God conquers all of this for us through his Son because he loves us. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Do I believe it? Yes, I believe every word of it. But you know what else I believe? I believe there's a lot more to it of his great love that you and I can barely handle this part. There's so much to his great love that until we leave and are in his presence, we will not know the totality. And the scripture lets us know even then we will continue to learn. Learn. I like that. That means we are going to be talking to each other. We are going to be learning. And none of us will ever know all that God knows. Never. Eternity. But we're continually growing closer. Difficult in this world to grow real close because of the human selfishness. Oh, gosh, folks. The country parson said, the closest most people come to thanking God is when they thank God that somebody else's problems didn't happen to them. Yeah, and that's real life, though. That really happened. Yes, it is. Can you find the path for true life? Yes, if you look in the right place. The reason people don't understand or accept the true life is because they're looking in the wrong place. What did Solomon do? He tried everything, didn't he? And then finally in Lamentation, you'll find that he said, all is vanity. He saw nothing in all that he had, all that he could do. Realizing then, you and I are never able or apt to be able to understand true life with the human mind and on the things that we're able to purchase and or what we're able to do in this life. That's not true life. To be at peace with inside, to be at peace with death, to be at peace knowing that there is a hereafter. I'm not guessing about a hereafter. I know there's a hereafter. You ever been there? No, but I'm going to be. I'm going. Well, how do you believe that? I believe it because God said so, and he reveals to every Christian when we say yes to him, the Lord says, okay, this is how it is. Well, if you never become a Christian, if you never accept Christ as Lord and Savior, because the world says that's too simple. It's the simplicity of Christianity that we can't handle. Well, it wasn't simple for him. I mean, it's simple. They call it simplicity that because all we say as Christians, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, we say that because God said it. Not something we made up, but I can't accept that. Well, what you have accepted, how's that working? If then the way you think is the way of life, why are you do you continually focus on the misery? Well, as in Christ, we can take the misery. We can see the hurt. We can feel the pain. But we know it's better days are coming. We know it's supper times, and the bell hadn't rung yet. But it's going to. And God says, I want you to look for the answer of true life in the right place. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. Now, you all keep this study and you take other copies of it, please. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So without being in the presence of Christ or believing in him, how could there be fullness of joy? You're not full of joy because of the hurt and pain. We are full of fullness and joy because it's only for a short time. And we know who our Savior is. At your right hand are... let me read the whole thing. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The pleasures that you and I look for in life, in this human existence, folks, those pleasures are pleasures that comfort the whim of the body. We have heat when it's cold. We have air conditioning when it's hot. We have food on our tables. And the poorest in the United States of America are richer than 2/3 of all the countries combined. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, David was kicking it out, wasn't he? You know, you might try to kill me. You might try to tell me all of this stuff. And I know I messed up. And I know my life has been miserable. God loves me. I cannot now look for my son that has just died to come back. But I don't need to. David said, because I will go to him. Now the Lord is unfolding his plan to us. But when we don't read his word in the spirit of Christ, when we don't read his word focusing on he is God, what he says is real, and everything that he puts forth is going to be a part of our life when we know him as Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not apologetic to anybody for that. I'm not apologetic to, well, now you need to cool it down, because the next thing, preacher, you're going to end up saying is Jesus Christ is the only way. Yeah, think of that. But that's what the world is having trouble with. If there's another way other than Jesus, well, what's their attempt at finding it? Through wealth, through the very same things as Solomon had tried to explain to everybody. It ain't working, he said. Excuse me, he would have said that if he had been from Kentucky. It ain't working. Next is death. Will everybody die? Yes and no. Everybody will either physically die or be changed in the rapture at the end of the ages. Well, now, preacher, you got to be out of your mind. You're talking about people being taken up, and it's Jesus coming in the air, and those words that he said that the whole world will see him at the same time. Now, that just can't happen. How the whole world going to see Jesus at the same time? The television networks show us how we can be anywhere in the world and everybody watching it. Problem is, folks, God's system of showing the world who he is so far above human technology that, well, how's he going to do it? I don't know. Ask him. As soon as we start seeing Jesus coming, do you think I'm going to worry about, God, how'd you do that? I'm going to be pointing at Randy Kidder and saying, Kidder, I told you. I told you exactly this one. And you should have listened. Will everybody die? Yes and no. Okay, changed at the rapture. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. You and I as Christians understand there is a second death. We know that. But that second death has nothing to do with us. Because every human being will die, will separate from this body, because this body is human. It's going to go back to the dust, because we cannot come in the presence of God in a physical human body. We could not look upon God without automatically dying. So what did God do? He came down in human flesh as his son so that we would know and see him. And what would he say? Do you not recognize me? Do you not understand that it's me? Philip, do you know that? Thomas? Oh, good gracious, Thomas, go ahead and stick your finger in the holes in my hand and in my side. And my Lord, my God, Thomas said. And Jesus said right after that, I'm going to tell you anyway because I don't know whether I got it in here or not. And Jesus said right after that, And it's actually translated this way, how much more are those blessed who believe in me and yet they have never seen me, Thomas. Jesus just told his disciples there's a generation coming which Jesus ushered in. That's our generation, the New Testament, the New Testament church, the coming of Christ. Jesus ushered in and he said, because I will be in them and they in me. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Folks, if you can't find it in the Bible, if you can't find it in the Word of God about a statement somebody is making, don't pay any attention to it. That's why it's important for us as Christians, as preachers, make sure that when we deliver a message from God, that we don't decide that we're going to say something different so it'll make somebody feel good. Feeling good is not where peace is found. Knowing the truth is. My Lord watches over me, every move that I make. If I die out here on the road or somebody decides to kill me, then the only way they can do it is by permission of God. So if they got God's permission, I'm out of here. But God have mercy on them when God says, no, you're not going to. And the Lord says, pray for them. Christian, remember? Pray for those, your enemies, those who despitefully, you pray for them because they in trouble. They are out in the cow pasture and there's all sorts of messes out there they have stepped in. That again, that came from a Kentucky farm boy who was raised on it. Do we know when the end of the ages began? Yes, we do. The end of the age began with the human ministry of Jesus Christ. And when people say, when did the end of the world, they call it, but it doesn't translate that way. It's the end of the age. Remember that Jesus always talked about the age to come and all. So the end of the age, Hebrews 9, 24, 25. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, meaning the church, the temples, all that was set up was only just a vision, a flicker of a vision of what is truly in heaven, in the realm of God, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. Oh, God. Jesus didn't just read the book. He came from there, and he's telling into heaven itself. Now, to appear in the presence of God for us. That's why he went back to God the Father, because of us. He loves us that much. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, our generation is the end of the ages coming up, started 2,000 years ago. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, that's what God says. I believe it. And you all know I get excited about it and believing it. Do we know the time of the end of the ages? No, we do not. Matthew 24, 35, 36. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, if his word continues after heaven and earth is this heaven, he's not talking about God's realm in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he's talking about My words will continue forever. Well, why do we think there's none of us going to be there to hear his word? Jesus never did anything frivolous. He never did it foolishly. So who's hearing his word forever? Well, we're part of the group that's hearing them. All the rest of it, I don't have any idea. The scientist said that can't happen. Here's what happened. And I have to smile because I love it. The guy with the, like he stuck his finger in the plug and his hair stands straight up. He says, they're ancient aliens. So therefore, and you know, I would say, how, when you say you're that smart, so you're fine with ancient aliens coming down, but you have a problem with the Son of God coming down. Now, those are fun to watch, but you know what I love about it? They can't figure it out. Yeah. I can see you now coming up one day. Do you know those ancient aliens you're talking about were angels that God sent? I don't know then, but you know, I'd love to mess their minds up with it. My words will by no means pass away, but of the day and hour no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. So, the Lord says nobody knows the end. Well, what do we hear all the time? We hear people talking about it's going to happen this year, certain place. That again, drank the Kool-Aid and jump on the comet. They drank the Kool-Aid, folks, but they missed the comet. Yep. How do I know that? They're still here? They buried them. Okay. Can I know what to do to be saved from the power of death? Yes. Believe in Jesus Christ. In talking to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, Jesus said this. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he said, do you believe this? Romans, well, actually, I didn't put this part. Let me tell you what she said. She said, yea, Lord, at the old English that I love. Yea, Lord, I know that you are the resurrection and you are the life. And that one day, you will come, and Jesus stops her. I'm already here. It has already come. Martha, I really love you. The thing is, do you believe it? I've told you, I've shown you everything. Do you believe it? Well, of course she did. Romans 5:9. Much more than, but you know what the part about her statements with him was about? Humanly, she could not wrap her mind around it. Any more than you and I can humanly wrap our mind around so many words that God tells us of what's to come, because how can I wrap my mind around a vision that I have never seen? How do you describe a vision? So where do I find the true life? In the one who is the vision and has given us the vision, which is Jesus Christ. So in my heart, in my spirit, I know. Well, explain it to me. I cannot even explain salvation to you other than Jesus says, whosoever calls on him will be saved. Explain that. I can't, because why in the world would he put up with us, much less love us as much as he does? Romans 5:9, much more than having now been justified, how? By his blood, not by our works. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Whose wrath? God the Father's. You do not want to even be close to the wrath of God when it comes down. So therefore, we then, justified by his blood, believing in him, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God will not allow one drop of the holy blood of his Son, which covers us, to be there for naught. When my body dies, will I personally see death, or judgment if I am a Christian? No, you will not. Here's your scripture, John 8:51. I tell you the truth. Old English, verily, verily. Truthfully, truthfully. He says, I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. People want to kick that back to the commandments, to the keeps my word, meaning do not sin. Remember that? Sin is from the human condition. Once I accept Christ, then the sin is covered by his blood. If I say that it is not, do I not then show disrespect to the blood of Christ? So, I'm telling you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. What was his word? Love. Remember? You've been around me long enough. I've taught it so many different times, so many different ways. But folks, the commandment of Christ, the Lord said, was rolled into one word, and that's love. If you love, then you will never see death. Huh? John 5:24-25. Most assuredly, that could have been another verily, verily, if you wanted. I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Do you all see any ifs, ands, or buts there?
No.
Okay. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Meaning this body is going to be hitting the floor. Well, we're not hitting the floor with it. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now listen to this. The hour is coming, and now is. Meaning the hour of our salvation. The Savior, Jesus, was here, right in front of them. And now it's like, look at me, boys, look at me. You're seeing it. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Okay, let me give you a little more in-depth thought on that one. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Spiritually, I can be walking around, but I can be dead spiritually. The Lord said, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to give you my word. And the time is now when the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ, those who don't know Jesus, they will hear the voice of the Son of God, the conviction by the Holy Spirit. We got it? And those who hear will live. He said, if you say you hear, why do you not believe? So those who hear will live. Salvation. Hebrews 7:24-25. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about God incarnate, folks. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The them is us. Jesus has always lived. We do realize that that's part of the anger of the world, because we are the only, as the secular world will say, religion. But as we will say, we are the only ones who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, whose prophet is still alive. They get mad because Jesus rose from the dead. And I think, oh gosh, folks, you're mad because Jesus rose from the dead and you can't control him.
Yep.
So, and what God would say, it's like Hunter tells me, because of the pain I've got. Suck it up, Marine. Take it. Okay. Oh, I got an email from Rodney Crook. Y'all remember Rodney, motels and all that? Okay. from Rodney. It said, Jesus Christ, the first Marine. The first Marine that has been delivering people out of darkness and out of the for 2,000 years. That's really cool. I just can't find it anywhere. Okay. Yeah. Knowing now that Christians never die, can we fully understand what is waiting for us in the hereafter? No. We can't even imagine it. We've never seen it. But hadn't somebody been on a vacation today, and this is a bad example, but that's fine, analogy. He'd been on vacation and said, you got to go see this place. Well, they were so excited about the place you were going to go see, you had to go see it. And you got there. That was Great Wolf Lodge for me. I pretended it was for Hunter and more. And I got up there, and I thought, man, I can relax watching kids protected in this big monstrous hotel and all. With even armband, a wristbands on that tells anybody, the staff, where the room is, who the parents are, and all of this, and could just sit there and watch kids enjoy life. I just love that. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And you, folks, I can think awful big thoughts of the greatness of God. And the Lord says, that won't work. You know why? Because you and I are human. And God wanted to bless us by pulling us out of a broken human condition. And he pulls us right out of this old clunker at some point, and he says, welcome home. Now, I get excited over that. But there is one important thing about the hereafter we do know. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Why don't they want to become Christians? When you see the story of the life, the reason you don't, the reason people don't, they want to worship a God they can control. They want to worship a God they can put on the shelf till they need him, bring him down. The trouble is, our God is God.